Hello, everyone. This is your Separation Creation System, Module 2, Instructional Audio. I'm Jenna Moyer, your legal strategist and workshop guide through these three modules of do-it-yourself style separation agreement preparation. And again, the purpose of these three modules is to guide you through the first several major steps in designing your separation agreement so that you don't have to pay an expensive lawyer by the hour. So just to give you a roadmap for this instructional audio, I'm going to quickly give you an overview of what Module 1 has accomplished for you and explain how to build upon that foundation for your progress in Module 2. I'm also going to instruct you to mark directly on your Module 1 worksheet, so please be sure to have your worksheet and a pen handy so that you can hit the ground running right now as we wrap up Module 1 and move forward into Module 2. And then the rest of the time, I'm going to go over the Module 2 materials, which consist of a PDF worksheet, which you should be able to download from our website, and another PDF document called the Sample Outline. So please be sure to have both of them printed out and on hand as I explain the purpose and the importance of each one. Okay, so let's start with our Module 1 recap. So by now, you know why separation agreements are so important. I have thus far outlined over a dozen reasons why I consider separation agreements to be the most important document of your separation and divorce. And we've highlighted some critical ways that a separation agreement can save you major time, money, and sanity. By now, you should also understand which of the three reasons for separating applies to you. And again, there's three reasons for separating. The first one is to rehabilitate the marriage using a productive separation, which is where you get space while working on the marriage because 6 out of 10 separations do reconcile. The second reason for separating is for a durable separation, which is to live separate lives permanently without ever getting a divorce. It's sort of the religious preference instead of divorcing or following it's cheaper to keep her and preferring to stay married while living separate lives. And the third reason is to actually segue to divorce and wait out your statutory separation period. So whichever of the three reasons you have selected for separating, by now you should clearly understand what is motivating you to go through the process of separation. By now you've also constructed your separation icebreaker and decided how to best use my three-part conversation starter to bring up the topic of separation with your spouse. And by now you've reviewed the list of discussion topics in the left-hand column of Module 1's worksheet to identify which topics are applicable to you and your spouse and therefore relevant for you to include in your separation agreement. And lastly, by now you've touched upon some or all of the various conversations with your spouse to diagnose your conversation styles and identify which topics were closed for discussion and therefore landed in the red column, which were possible discussions, which therefore they landed in the yellow column, and which were open for discussion, and therefore they landed in the green column. And again, this diagnostic was essentially an agenda-setting exercise, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you personally experienced and how you manifested the Module 1 conversation starters with your spouse. Which brings us together today because Module 2 is going to build upon this foundation that you've just created in Module 1. And it's going to take you forward another step into the information gathering stage and the diagramming of your separation agreement. So with that, let's begin interpreting your diagnostic results from Module 1. Because you were to go down the list of topics in the left-hand margin and ask, for each one, can we talk civilly, safely, calmly, and openly about this topic when we sit down together? Can we talk civilly or safely or calmly or openly about this topic when we sit down together? And if you broach the topic with your spouse and a wall of silence immediately went up or a door slammed or a violent response manifested in any way, those are the signs we look for as professionals that raise red flags and indicate those are not healthy topics of conversation to bring into the separation agreement discussion. So they stop there. they landed in the red column and will not be carried forward into Module 2. So put a big X over that topic of conversation so that it stops there. It dies there and does not come forward. Red means stop. So put a big X over the topic of that conversation. Now, if you broach the topic with your spouse and instead got some argumentative pushback, got some attitude, experienced some tension, got resistance, even sarcasm, maybe some nonverbal grunts, or even tears, anything that isn't physically or mentally abusive, then it went into the yellow column, which symbolizes that it's a cautionary topic, but it is possible with the right assistance. So put a circle around those topics that are in the yellow column because they are coming forward into Module 2 with us. Again, yellow means caution. Proceed with caution. Now, if you broached a topic with your spouse and instead got calmness, consent, openness, then it indicates that this topic is open for discussion. And it went into the green column because green means go. So put a circle around those topics because they are coming forward into Module 2 with us. Now, for those of you who are looking at your worksheets right now and are thinking to yourself, you know, I have quite a few reds. That's okay. This diagnostic is helping you to see that a separation agreement may not be the best use of your time and money. Because when I do this exercise with my clients as they're coming through my office, many are surprised when they see exactly how many red column topics they have. And they say, oh my gosh, this is a red column. This is a red column. This is a red column. And I take this opportunity to say, look at how many issues you have coming from a non-amicable, non-communicative place. This is not going to be a productive use of your time or money right now to have me draw up a separation agreement for you that isn't going to get signed because you and your spouse can't communicate about it without serious professional assistance. And sometimes people can pull through it with the assistance of trained professionals, and that's great, but we generally find that this red column is a decent indicator of which topics often need to be litigated. And it just really comes down to the personalities who are involved that dictate that. So now for any of you who have quite a few yellow column topics, I want you to know that's okay. That's normal. Most things land in the yellow column. And even though you may feel like, oh my gosh, every important topic to me is surrounded by friction or argument and it's in the yellow column, there's just so much conflict behind this, it's hopeless. Rest assured that these topics in yellow are not a lost cause. There is hope. The reason they're not red is because there's no threat of abuse or it's not a toxic response that you got. You know, the slammed door, even though that's not physically abusive per se, it is emotionally abusive. So, you know, the reason we don't have things in the yellow column actually shifted over to the red is because there wasn't a physically violent or emotionally abusive response. So fear not. By the end of the workshop, you're going to have action steps to connect you with trained professionals who specialize in guiding you through these yellow column hurdles. So fear not. Rest assured there is hope for these yellow column topics. Now, one quick note about the box at the bottom of the last page in the Module 1 worksheet. If you recall, it asked if you were aware of any relationship imbalances in your marital dynamic. And if you checkmarked the box yes, then I want you to make a mental note to please come back and refer to this during Module 3 because 9 times out of 10, you will need additional assistance in Module 3 to dialogue with your spouse if you have checkmarked the box yes. You may perhaps even need legal assistance in case this imbalance that you're referring to might actually be construed as incapacity. So we want to make sure that you have the assistance you need in order to be able to move forward legally with the negotiations you're doing with your spouse. So please be sure to check with me immediately. Let me know that this applies to you, that you checkmarked the box yes, and let me know what your relationship imbalances are in your particular circumstances so that we can help you strategize accordingly. Okay, so now I want to review the documents for Module 2. So first, let's turn to the Module 2 worksheet. As you can see, it looks very similar to the Module 1 worksheet, but there are some very important distinctions. First, at the top next to Separation Creation System, it says Module 2, Diagramming. But there are some more very important distinctions that I need to point out to you. So if you start in the left-hand column, I mean, even though the left-hand column discussion topics is the same, the red, yellow, and green columns on this worksheet are not the same. You'll see that the red column on this Module 2 worksheet says, we disagree. The yellow column on this worksheet says, we somewhat agree. And the green column says, we agree. If you're using the left-hand column discussion topics from Module 1, you're going to cross off anything in this Module 2 worksheet that was crossed off from Module 1 because it didn't apply to you. I'm going to say that again. On this Module 2 worksheet, you're going to cross off with an X any of these discussion topics that you had crossed off from Module 1 because you crossed off anything that didn't apply to you. So do the same thing on this worksheet. Next, you're going to cross off anything on this Module 2 worksheet that was a red column topic from Module 1. I'll say that again. Here on this Module 2 worksheet, all the discussion topics in the left-hand column that were a red column topic for you in the last module, any of them that landed in the red column last module, you're going to cross out right now on this worksheet for Module 2. Next, I want you to place a circle around any topic on this Module 2 worksheet that you had circled from Module 1. So place a circle on this Module 2 worksheet around any topic that you did circle from Module 1. Bring the circles forward into this module. Okay, so now that you've set up your worksheet, now you're prepared to embark upon Module 2. Now, once again, in passing conversation with your spouse, I want you to take each of the discussion topics that are circled here on your Module 2 worksheet. I want you to take each of these discussion topics one at a time and use the conversation starters that I've created for you to begin information gathering from your spouse. The key is you're only doing reconnaissance. You're only information gathering. You're still not discussing. You're still not conversing. You're still not sharing your opinion. The dialoguing really happens in Module 3. So you're not at a place yet where you're ready to share your opinion. For now, you're only asking your spouse, hey, how do you think we should handle this topic? Such as, to give you an example, looking at the worksheet, how do you think we should divide the household effects? What do you think we should do with each retirement account? When do you think we should separate? Now that is very different from asking what should we do with each retirement account or when should we separate. It is extremely important that you recognize the psychology behind the wording here because wording it any other way could negatively impact your results at this point. I cannot stress this enough, so let me explain what I mean by way of an example. We intentionally begin using the word what do you think for each conversation starter? Because over the years, when people pose the question by asking, what should we do? The spouse misunderstood the intent of the question. The spouse presumed that they were getting directions that would be followed, rather than simply sharing their opinion for information gathering. Big mistake. So when the question was posed, what should we do with the house post-divorce? And the spouse answered, we should sell because we can't afford to keep it. And then the written proposal would instead say, one party gets exclusive use and possession of the home pre-divorce and then gets to keep it free and clear after the divorce. It only eroded the trust, the sincerity, and the cooperation between the party. And it undermines the transparency and the credibility of the process because the question was worded in such a way that there was room to misinterpret the intent behind the question. So it's important that you be very careful and deliberate with your wording to ensure that you're asking for your spouse's thoughts, not their direction. Again, it's extremely important that you be very careful and very deliberate with your wording to make sure that you're asking for your spouse's thoughts on the issue, not asking for their direction on the issue, okay? So to be very clear about this, you're only information gathering, and you're asking very non-emotionally, very non-confrontationally, with zero personal attachment to their answer whatsoever. No matter what comes out of their mouth, you do not respond positively, negatively, or otherwise. You just ask, what are their thoughts regarding each individual discussion point? And you record their answer in one of the three columns on this worksheet based on how you perceive the answer to connect with your own personal feelings. Would you be recording it in the red column because you disagree with each other? Would you be recording it in the yellow column because you see some possible disagreement, some possible agreement, perhaps you need some clarification? Or do you just clearly see right away that there's green light agreement and you're absolutely on the same page at that point with that question, green column? And again, as I said before, you will not be bringing this worksheet with you into the conversation, and you will never expose it or show it or hint about it to your spouse. If you need to use a cheat sheet to remind you what are your discussion topics, then handwrite them yourself on a separate piece of paper and do the practice, you know, do the practice to rehearse the questions ahead of time over and over so that your nerves don't skew the question into something that you're not really asking. FYI, that's why I am not getting you entrenched with what is the law yet. And when anybody's asked me what are they entitled to and what should they do, we aren't discussing your entitlements under the law yet because it's really easy to get too attached to the legal outcomes when you focus on your legal rights and your wants. This module is not about you yet. That's module 3. For now, this module is simply information gathering and 100% about your spouse. So that's why we don't take into consideration yet what you're entitled to under the law. It is literally a module about information gathering from your spouse. And when you have asked these conversation starters and received your spouse's reply, again, very non-emotionally, non-confrontationally, with zero personal attachment to their answer whatsoever, you will afterward, in complete and total privacy, then jot down your spouse's answer in one of the three columns, just registering the existence of disagreement, registering the existence of agreement, or in the yellow column, somewhere in the middle, perhaps needing a little clarity on where you both sit. Now, I do want to say, there are two schools of thought for people going through Module 2. For some people, it's hard to know what column they want to put the answer in if they don't know what they're entitled to under the law. And I understand that. I respect that. That's why there's two schools of thought. The first school of thought is, I don't care what the law says. We'll control this outcome ourselves. We will decide this ourselves. If we want to agree, we'll agree to it. I don't care what the law says. That's the first school of thought. And that's fine. The second school of thought is slightly different. It's for those who want to base your opinion around what you're entitled to under the law. It's for those who say, you know, I don't know if I agree with what my husband or my wife is saying to me. I want to know what I would be entitled to if I were to go through court. I want to know what the law would say I'm entitled to for child support. I want to know what the law would say I'm entitled to for spousal support. I want to know what the law would say I'm entitled to for use and possession of the home or for a percentage of the retirement. I want to know what my entitlements are under the law. And if that's you, that's fine. That's fine as well. I just need to let you know that there's two different approaches to filling in this worksheet, and that means that there's two different paths to the completion of Module 2. The choice is yours. You just let me know if we need to get a legal team in place during Module 2 instead of Module 3. Because normally we get the legal team in place, your team of professionals will get in place for Module 3 if you're the first school of thought. If you don't care what the law says, you just want to dictate the outcome with your spouse, the two of you will determine your own outcomes without the input of a legal team telling you what your rights and obligations are under your local statute. That's great, and that means that you won't need to have your legal team in place until Module 3. But if you're the other school of thought where you want to know your rights now, you don't want to agree to anything or disagree with anything until you know what you're entitled to, then that means we need to get your lawyer or mediator team in place now, right away, in Module 2. And again, the choice is yours. You just need to let me know what your preference is so that if we need to get your legal team in place right away here in Module 2, then we can do so. Otherwise, we will wait until Module 3. Now, for the final step in Module 2, as I've mentioned previously, the goal is to remove you from being the bearer of bad news or the messenger of disagreement during this entire process. So for this step, this next step, the final step of Module 2, you will only be focusing on the topics that you both agreed to. And those are the topics which are located in the green column of your Module 2 worksheet at this time. So go ahead and place a circle around each discussion topic that is in the green column of your Module 2 worksheet. So you know to focus only on those topics right now. Only on those topics in the green column right now. And it is these topics in the green column that indicate mutual agreement. So they are without the huge risk of disputes that the other columns carry with them at this point in time. And you're going to actually type, not handwrite, you're going to actually type the section headers into another document using your computer or your typewriter, either one. You're going to actually type the section headers from the worksheet and a one-sentence summary to confirm with your spouse. I'm going to ask you to post them for my review, but you are physically going to show the short outline that you create to your spouse. Now, look at the example I've posted for you. This will help you visualize what I'm describing. It is a PDF on the website. It's titled Sample Outline, and it shows what your bullet point outline should look like by using a fictitious family that I called husband John and wife Mary, and there's two kids, Bobby and Betsy. And as you can tell, the wife Mary is going through the workshop She's the one who's constructing the document. Using this very simple formatting, exactly as you see it here, with the section headers just as you see them as the headers on the worksheet, joint and marital assets, joint and marital debts, custody and visitation, those are directly out of your left-hand column on your worksheet. And then also the bullet points are labeled to match the individual discussion topics, business and income sources, pre-divorce use of the home, post-divorce use of the home, etc. It goes right down the left-hand column of your Module 2 worksheet and lists exactly what each discussion topic is. Now, you're going to be doing a one-sentence summary of where you stand on each of those topics, but I want to give you some very clear directions before you write anything. First, you must title the document Proposed Outline. You can see that I wrote it here on our sample outline. The title of it is Proposed Outline. And that is extremely important. That is so nobody can later on say that you typed this document and it's proof of your final intentions, your final agreement. Now, this is not the official outline. This is a proposed outline. Second, you must use each other's first name in the document. This makes it more personal. It sounds more familiar. It's much less intimidating. Okay, so it's important that you use each other's first name. Here in this document, we use John and Mary. You're going to use your first name and your spouse's first name. Third, you must use the language could instead of should or will. Let me explain why. There's a lot of psychology behind this. The word will, W-I-L-L, has a very harsh connotation to it. And it implies that it is non-negotiable. If you say, John will give Mary, John will move out, John will do this or that, it implies that it's non-negotiable and it is very harsh on the listener. Likewise, the word should is also too strong and it has a pushy impact in this context. John should do something. John should pay something. But if you insist, instead of using the word will or should, if you instead use the word could, it changes the force of the words and it de-escalates the tone so that the listener is less inclined to get defensive. And this is where we have to be very aware of attitudinal barriers here, because some spouses cannot handle having somebody tell them what to do. So this is where we're respectful and acknowledging of the different barriers to communication that we discussed in the last module. We want to avoid any of these attitudinal barriers or any other barriers to communication. And again, for anything that was circled in the green column of your Module 2 worksheet, you are creating a bullet point for it, and you are summarizing your agreement in a single sentence using the three instructions that I just gave you, how you will use each other's first names, and you'll use could instead of will or should, and make sure that you use the bullet points that you had circled in the green column. Now, for anything that was in the yellow column on your Module 2 worksheet, you're going to write a placeholder sentence. You're going to write, "We could decide later." Again, "We could decide later." And this is just a placeholder, so that your spouse can visually acknowledge that there is a space held for this topic, but your spouse can remain disengaged for the time being because it's not on the table for discussing right now. And again, the wording was very deliberate here. It doesn't say we will decide later. It doesn't say we will decide on a certain date. Because the word decide has such a permanent and final feeling to it. And psychologically, the word decide increases stress. So we use the word discuss instead. Because discuss carries a totally different weight and conveys a different impact upon the listener. Now, because this is a very important step, this is, you know, the first time you're really going to be showing your spouse anything that you have typed up, I invite you to submit your green outlines to me by email or fax so that I can review them and help you make any last-minute adjustments before you show it to your spouse. And I really want you to feel like you can send them, you know, whichever way is the most convenient for you. If you want to attach it to the email and send it to me at admin@divorcesupport.org, you are welcome to do that. If you want to fax it to me, the confidential fax number that comes directly to me is toll-free 888-281-7201. Again, that's 888-281-7201. Again, it's toll-free and it comes directly to me, so it is a confidential email or a confidential fax, whichever you choose. But I do encourage you to please submit them ahead of time so that I can review them and help you make any last-minute adjustments that you need before you show this to your spouse. Before we wrap up, I want to just go over some questions that I recall were very common. You could consider them frequently asked questions from prior workshops. Why only the green column? Why are we not outlining the yellow column here? Well, I call it the green worksheet. The green outline, because I want you to remember you're only outlining the green column. You are not outlining the yellow column because, again, our focus in this workshop is to leave potential conflict to the trained professional so that he or she can be the one discussing it with your spouse. She or he can be the victim of the shoot the messenger concept, not you. So in each of these modules, you will only be working one-on-one with your spouse if there's an agreement on a particular topic. And again, those would be the topics in the green column. So that's why we're only working within the green column topics, and we're not outlining the yellow column topics, because you'll be lining up your trained professionals for limited and highly focused discussions on those specific topics in the yellow column. Those are not for you to handle. Another common question, why am I supposed to show my spouse my bullet point outline? Can't we just talk about it? I want you to know a lot of psychology went into the structure of this workshop. And so there are four major reasons that you must show your spouse the bullet point outline that you're going to create. I call it the green outline. Okay, so you absolutely must be planning to show your spouse the green outline that you're going to be creating. The first reason is that it eliminates the barriers to communication that we already spoke about. Some people process information visually. So if you're just talking to them, you are just not reaching them. And this is extremely important information. So it's important for them to process this information visually. So that's one reason why you absolutely must deliver this information to your spouse in a written format. And it needs to be typed. Absolutely needs to be typed. The second reason it plays into what I just described about it being typed. It reduces rejection of the final document when they can see it evolve from a bullet point form. Seeing it gradually evolve when it started at 3 pages is easier for them to swallow when they see it at 30 pages because they saw it grow. And it's a much gentler acceptance to be able to see it evolve rather than ambushing them right away with all 30 pages. So this reduces the rejection of the document when they can see it grow and evolve. Another reason why it's extremely important that you actually show your spouse this green outline of yours is that you're going to be asking them to mark on the page. And you're going to be asking them and inviting them to get their own pen out and scratch off things that they don't agree with and to write things into it and to actually commit and invest in actually modifying the document. And this is important because it begins the buy-in process. The buy-in process, and that's a psychological term that we use when we're talking about somebody feeling emotionally invested in a process. When they buy into it, it's because they feel emotionally invested in it. They feel personally invested. And when they feel that they're contributing to the growth of the document, they actually start to buy into the document, which means that they personally feel committed to it, they personally feel invested in it, and it guarantees that the rejection, the likelihood of rejection is reduced. So there's a greater, so there's a much lower chance that they will reject the end document when they can say that they have contributed to it along the way. And then last, it's important that you show this document to your spouse because it supports them too. When they can see their position in print, they feel validated and supported. And again, the only opinions that you are actually commemorating into print here on this green worksheet are the ones that you agree to. So you want them to attach to the ideas that are in print. You want to see them attach to the document and so they can feel validated and supported by the document and the words that they see in print because those are words that support you too. So we're emphasizing the agreement, highlighting the things that support both of you, and de-emphasizing the things that can pull you apart and distract. Last question that I've often got is, how am I supposed to show my spouse my outline? Okay, well, this is not the sit-down meeting that many of you are anticipating. That's the dialoguing in Module 3. This is, again, it's just still the information gathering stage. So while you can sit down with your spouse to review this document, if you choose, I actually prefer to keep it a little more light and fluid than that. And I prefer to say, almost like in passing, hey, I was thinking about our conversation the other day, and I sat down to jot some notes. But I'm not sure I remembered everything accurately. Can you take a look at my notes and tell me if I'm on the right track? I'll say that again because that's really helpful in being disarming and fairly straightforward without making somebody feel defensive. Hey, I was thinking about our conversation the other day and I sat down to jot some notes. But I'm not sure I remembered everything accurately. Can you take a look at my notes and tell me if I'm on the right track? And then invite them to actually mark on the page, to physically cross out the things that they disagree with and physically write in the corrections that they want to see. Because, again, this is key to them feeling personally invested in the document as it grows, seeing it evolve, buying in to the evolution of the document and terms that are contained in the document, all of which just helps to reduce the likelihood that they'll reject the document at the end. Okay, so those are the instructions for you to jump into your Module 2 worksheet to wrap up Module 1 and hit the ground running with Module 2. We do have a coaching call, 7 p.m., same time, same phone number as last time. It's Thursday the 11th. And I want you to bring your questions, bring your hurdles that you're encountering, be on the call and bring any insight or questions that you have so that we can tackle it there on the call and give you some action steps to move you through any hurdles you're experiencing and get ready for Module 3. So thanks so much, everybody. I look forward to supporting you, and thanks so much.